With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tucson to Tallahassee, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing? The chaos has commenced. Day one of the NCAA tournament gives us one of the biggest upsets in first-round recent memory, the Wildcats of Arizona, a trendy pick to not only go to the Final Four, but also win a national championship, not only bounced by 13-seeded Buffalo's Bulls, but dumped in a blowout. Oh, Sean Miller, DeAndre Ayton, the FBI probe, and the Arizona Wildcats now looking at a long offseason. Ayton's going to head to the NBA and the lottery and be picked perhaps number one overall. The rest of that program has to sit to pick up the pieces. And that was only part of the madness yesterday. We'll break it all down, what happened in day number one. We will preview what could happen on day number two. So today, a good March Madness day to you. Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Check out our Facebook page also at facebook.com/TheDAShow. When you go there, like the show page.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
And we have to already update you on the one spicy moment standings. Worst bracket here on the DA show is going to have to eat the hottest salsa on the market. Legally. Could be sold on the open market. Who's currently in last place? We'll update the one spicy moment standings as we make our way through the show. It's also a Target Demo Friday, so we want to know what you're doing as you listen to the show. You can tweet at me or post on Facebook. I'll read them at the end of the program. Let's start with the Pac-12. Let's start with those Arizona Wildcats. Let's start with a loss last night. That's their fourth worst loss in NCAA tournament history. Arizona does not get out of the first round. They lose to Buffalo by 21 points. The Bulls didn't only beat them, they dominated them. They smothered them. And did anybody see the lack of effort Arizona gave late in that game when they trailed by double digits? It became Quit City. Sean Miller is oftentimes regarded as the best coach never to go to a Final Four. I'm still supposed to believe that after that? He's the best coach ever to go to a Final Four, and his team gives up in the final 6 minutes of that game to a 13 seed from the MAC. Give me a break. Not only did Arizona lose to a 13 seed. Not only did they not get out of the field to 64, they quit at the end of that game. And don't look now, but the Pac-12 has nobody left. Nobody left. USC, gone. Didn't make the tournament. UCLA, gone. Lost to the first four. Arizona State, gone. Lost to the first four. And now the best hope, Arizona, dumped by 21 points by a 13 seed. What has happened to the former Conference of Champions? More like Conference of Champions. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Tomorrow morning, for the first time in NCAA tournament history, all of America will be talking about the Buffalo Bulls. Their first ever NCAA tournament win, 89-68, in a mammoth upset against Arizona.
Well, we knew we had a very tough draw. We knew we were playing an excellent basketball team. In a team, quite frankly, that we didn't necessarily match up well with. We prepared hard, but we ran into a team that played well on a night where we didn't. They certainly had a lot to do with that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Jason Benetti, Dan Dickow, the Westwood One NCAA radio network on the call. Sean Miller after the game. Guys, did anybody hear what Sean Miller just said? A team we didn't necessarily match up well against. You won the Pac-12. You won the Pac-12 regular season. You won the Pac-12 tournament. And you played a 13 seed Buffalo. We didn't match up well against them. You didn't match up well against them. You have a potential NBA All-Star on your roster. You have perhaps the number one pick in the draft. We didn't match up well against them.
which we call around here, we call it March Madness.
We didn't match up well against them. We got multiple NBA guys. We won the Pac-12. We were a 4 seed. Yeah, but you know what? This is a tough matchup for us. It's Buffalo and the 13 seed.
Yeah.
Excuses. Excuses. And the Pac-12, shame on you. All season long, you tried to convince us that you were better than people realized. And when it came down to it, look what happened. You didn't make it to the round of 32. Do you realize this is the first time ever that a power conference did not have a team in the round of 32? First time ever. That's how bad that conference was. And don't make me go back to the bowl season. Don't make me do it, because I'll do it. Anybody notice what happened in December to the Pac-12? Oregon loses to Boise State. Las Vegas Bowl. UCLA loses to K-State. Cactus Bowl. Purdue loses to Arizona. Foster Farms Bowl. Stanford loses to TCU. Alamo Bowl. Wazoo loses to Michigan State. Holiday Bowl. USC gets drummed by Ohio State. Cotton Bowl. Arizona State gives up 52 points in a loss to NC State. Sun Bowl. Washington gets beaten by Penn State in the Fiesta Bowl. Do you realize the Pac-12 has had one postseason win since the bowl season? Utah won the Zaxby's Heart in Dallas Bowl over West Virginia 30-14. Otherwise, they'd have an offer. The Pac-12 went 1-8 in the bowls and then went 0-3 in the tournament. Didn't make the round of 32. Oh, what a disgrace. Oh,
so we called it March Madness.
What a disgrace. What an embarrassment. And I'll tell you this. I love what the Buffalo coach said about this upset. I love it. Because he said, they haven't seen pressure like we brought. They don't know what we brought to the table. Nate Oates, Buffalo coach, said, I watch enough Pac-12 games to last myself about 5 years. Nobody puts that kind of pressure on them. Nobody does what we can do to them in that conference. This is a coach making a couple of hundred grand at a state school in the MAC. And he goes, that conference over there, nobody can do what we do to them. Nobody does that, what we just did to them. They pressured Arizona the moment they got the basketball. They forced them into awful possessions, bad shots, and then Arizona quit. That's awful. Awful by the Wildcats. And now brackets are already busted all across the land.
Yeah.
855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Okay, so can Arizona afford to hold on to Sean Miller? I think they will, because they were very defiant in the face of the ESPN report that Sean Miller was caught on the wiretap admitting he was considering or shopping for DeAndre Ayton for $100K. Sean Miller came out and said it's defamatory, it's false. The school stood behind Sean Miller, so I don't think they can fire him this offseason in the face of that. Had the FBI probe not happened, you might have a different conversation. It's kind of interesting. When you have an upset like that that happened yesterday, would Arizona have fired Sean Miller? I don't believe so. Number one, he's made the tournament every year for the last 5 years. Number two, they just dominated the Pac-12. Number three, he brought in one of their best recruits ever in DeAndre Ayton. Number four, he's very well liked in the city of Tucson. So I don't think they would fire him. But that, forget even the FBI probe, that is a humiliation. Not only did you lose to a 13 seed, you got beat by 21 points. 21 points. If you were watching that game and you did not know the seeding, and you did not know the brand of Arizona or Buffalo, you'd look at the Bulls and go, well, that's the power conference team. That's just a much better basketball team. They're dominating that other school. 21 points. 21 points. This is not a buzzer beater. Loyola of Chicago got by Miami on a buzzer beater. That was a tail kicking. When we come back here on the show, NFL free agency. John Gruden is trying to make the Raiders like the old Raiders. No, literally, he's making them old Raiders. We'll get to that story coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Full episodes of the DA Show are available two places. Number one on iTunes. Simply go there, search DA and CBS, and you'll find full episodes of the DA Show on iTunes. Also, CBS Sports Radio has a brand new website. It's very slick. It's very cool. And a good way for you to listen to the entire show as well. If you go to CBSSportsRadio.com, you'll just click on the shows tab, click over to the DA Show, and then you'll see audio. And there you can click through every show and listen to entire hours, entire segments, entire interviews, entire shows. It's all there. Just go to CBSSportsRadio.com.
I do love the DA.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Aw. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show. When we'll answer that question, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Yeah! The March Madness!
Yeah!
We'll continue discussing yesterday's action.
Yeah.
One hour from now, 45 minutes from now, actually, we'll discuss all of today's games and rank them 1 through 16, which you should be watching. We'll also talk about 1 hour from now, who's the best NBA prospect left in the big dance now that DeAndre Ayton got canned. Didn't take him long to say he's going to the NBA. Him and Alonzo Trier. Is the game over yet? Okay, yeah, we're going. Like, as that lead built for Buffalo yesterday, on the floor, I think they were declaring for the NBA draft. Sean Miller's like, you guys got to go in. They're like, hang on, we're just filing some paperwork here. Yeah, we'll be right there. What are we down, coach? 12? Yeah. Did we mention we're leaving for the NBA draft today? Today? The game's going on. Yeah, we're done here. I think we're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, John Gruden is remodeling and remaking the Oakland Raiders into the old Oakland Raiders. Literally, they're old now. They're getting older, which, you know, you have to love that attitude. You have to love that roster building by John Gruden. Gruden's got the snarl. He's looking at you out of one eye, and he's talking about football players, Sean. We need more football players around here. John Gruden says he wants to bring back 90s football. They're going to go back to ground and pound. They're going to find football players. I'm squinting so much I can't even see through either one of my eyeballs, but I'll tell you this. We're going to be tough. We're going to run the football. We're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. We're going back. We're going to beat the Seahawks in our division. The AFC West has 5 teams in it, right, still? Is that right? I'm going to call Kenny Stabler for some advice. Oh, he's dead. Well, we're going to go back to a time where the Raiders were real good, the 90s. That's what we need to bring back, okay? And we need football players. So he brings in Jordy Nelson, who has lost, I don't know, a billion steps, and Doug Martin, who hasn't been healthy since the 90s. So that's appropriate. They get rid of Michael Crabtree, their best receiver. They bring in Jordy Nelson instead, who's 33 years old and creates no separation anymore. And Doug Martin, muscle hamster, who, again, I can't remember the last time he was healthy and productive. We're going to remodel and reshape this Raiders franchise into the type of guys you can be proud of. We're looking to build the 2006 Pro Bowl team. We're going to win a lot of games. Still a 14-game schedule, right? I get it. Michael Crabtree wasn't exactly the most lovable dude. Him and Aqib Talib getting into it on the field, off of the field. Crabtree wasn't exactly friendly with the media, wasn't a guy that a lot of guys would rally around. Jordy Nelson, hard worker, overachiever, good locker room guy. Maybe this is about DNA within the team, within the huddle, within that locker room. But you can't tell me right now that Jordy is a better wide receiver than Crabtree. He's just not. Not at his age. Not after the knee surgery. You can't say it. Look, I think that Derek Carr will appreciate having Jordy Nelson in that locker room or in that huddle on 3rd and 6. I think you can trust going to Jordy. But he's not what Nelson was 3-4 years ago. He's not what he was 7 years ago. He's not what he was in the Super Bowl. I wonder about this John Gruden experiment. 10 years, $100 million, he ain't going to be on the sideline for 10 years. No sirree. And if he thinks that you can bring back football from the 90s, he is sorely mistaken. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Yesterday, some great college basketball action on day one of the tournament. How about Loyola of Chicago knocking off Miami as the Hurricanes miss the front end of a 1-1 and then come back down the floor, Loyola of Chicago, and nail the jumper to win? Was that not thrilling? I thought Miami had a really good chance of winning multiple games. Instead, they're one and done, and Loyola of Chicago is dancing into the round of 32. Fantastic moment. Fantastic game. How about Gonzaga? UNC Greensboro. Looked like Greensboro was about to pull the upset. Looked like Gonzaga was on the ropes. And instead, a couple of huge buckets down the stretch and a couple of misses as well. And the Zags hold on. And probably you hold on to your chairs, because that, combined with the Arizona loss, would have blown up everybody's brackets. Good day of action yesterday. How about Rhode Island, Oklahoma? Trae Young could be a lottery pick of the NBA draft, doing everything that he could to drag Oklahoma to a win, but not enough as URI survives. Young, 28 points in the loss, and everything else around him at Oklahoma stinks. And then there was Kansas. The Jayhawks are a one seed. They were playing the Ivy League champs Penn. Kansas scored 6 points over 10 minutes of action in the first half. There has never been a 116 upset. We may never see a 116 upset, but that is about as awful, as brutal as a one seed's ever going to look. That's just about as equal to an embarrassment as you could possibly have these days as a one seed against a 16. You're never going to lose that game, but you can look bad, apparently, and Kansas did. Do you know how hard it is for a number one seed that won the Big 12, the deepest conference in America, the regular season, and their conference tournament? Do you know how hard it is for that team to score 6 points in 10 minutes of basketball? That's a quarter of the game against a team from the Ivies. Kansas is a one seed, and they scored 3 buckets, 6 points, over a group of guys that can't wait to get home to do their calculus homework. Actual molecular scientists. Actual geniuses. They're like, are we done with the game yet? Because I got homework to do. Please. Kansas scored 6 points. That's 25% of the game. That means that rate, they would have scored 24 points against Penn, and they're the one seed. Whew. Good luck with all that. This feels like another Bill Self bomb out, doesn't it? At some point, it might happen the next game. When we come back here on the show, we'll update you on one spicy moment standings. Where do we sit after one day? Who's going to have to eat the fire chili pepper palace salsa? And one analyst says, don't buy the hype on Saquon Barkley. He is not a perfect prospect. We'll get to that coming up here next to hear that audio. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
We're going full blackout moment in the air.
Full blackout mode, huh?
Full blackout mode. We're talking black.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch the show, the simulcast, cooking right now at watchda.com. That is mobile friendly. You can watch the show either on your laptop, on your PC, maybe your smart TV, punch us up there, or on your phone. That's watchda.com. Take us with you wherever you go. We got you all hooked up watching the simulcast at watchda.com.
All right.
This is interesting. Saquon Barkley blew away scouts, GMs, coaches, media, and fans at the scouting combine a couple of weeks ago. Saquon Barkley became part of a conversation of being drafted number one overall. Drafting a running back number one overall hasn't happened in a really long time. There's a reason for that, because of the wear and tear on running backs because of the need of splitting carries and the extinction of the workhorse back that gets 30 carries a game. Because the sport has become so heavily dependent upon passing, and because of salary cap restrictions, you don't want to wrap up more money than you need to in a position where you could have a cheaper, nearly equivalent production. The great running back that's drafted very, very high and garners the bulk of the offense just doesn't exist anymore. But here was Saquon Barkley showing everybody major agility, major strength at the combine, having obviously a fantastic season last year for a very good Penn State team. And those around Cleveland saying, we should draft Saquon number one. You can't pass on him and then just wait for the best quarterback that falls to you at number four. Just about everybody's in a consensus now that Saquon Barkley is the best football player in the draft. The only question is, would you draft him one overall? I would not. To me, you've got to get the quarterback right, and that means you cannot wait to see who falls to you at four. I think the Giants are taking a quarterback at number two. I think the Colts could trade out of that slot at number three and allow somebody to move into draft a quarterback, and that means you might get your third pick at QB. I realize the Browns have made a lot of bad picks there.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
But if I'm the Browns, I've got to get the quarterback right first and foremost. But there's a lot of people saying take Saquon Barkley, which will take pressure off of your quarterback, pressure off of your offense. And if there's three good quarterbacks in this draft, maybe it's Rosen, Darnold, and Baker Mayfield, you're guaranteed one of those at number four. Thought it was really interesting the other day. Ross Tucker, NFL analyst, we've had him here on the show a number of times, as you know, joined Tiki and Tierney and said, slow the roll on the Saquon hype train.
First of all, he's not a perfect prospect. If you watch him, he looks to bounce a little bit too much. He looks for the home run a little bit too much rather than just hitting it up in there, no matter how phenomenal he is. You know, he had too many lost yardage runs. You know, I wonder at times a little bit about his vision. I mean, the way he moves at 233 pounds is crazy. He's got great contact balance. He's really good catching the ball out of the backfield. But if you watch him, you know, they were terrible in short yardage. Terrible. Sometimes I wonder, and obviously Kiki can speak to this more than I can. I'm talking from an offensive lineman's perspective. But it looked to me like at times he's so physically gifted that he'd get the ball, and he was looking for the 80-yard run rather than just hitting it up in there.
That's interesting from Ross Tucker, who joined Tiki and Tierney the other day here on CBS Sports Radio. Saquon Barkley is a wonderful prospect, but Saquon Barkley is not perfect. And I think people, because of his combine, want to make it seem like he is perfect, a slam dunk. You have to have him. You can't pass on him as a generational running back. You can, because you have to have quarterback first. Nothing else matters except the quarterback in today's NFL. It's just the reality. Look at how great the Philadelphia Eagles were. The Eagles were so balanced, a supremely underrated defense, a very good running back tandem, an aggressive coach, a good staff, a really deep offensive line, and they still needed Nick Foles to throw for 350 yards and have the perfect game to win a Super Bowl. It's just where we are. We just witnessed a Super Bowl between two very good teams. The two best teams in football, arguably, all season long. We just witnessed a game between two really good teams. And that was the most yards put up ever in one football game. Think about that for a sec. Two really good, balanced football teams with really good coaches. And that was the most yards ever tallied, not in the playoffs, not in a Super Bowl, but in a regulation football game. You just can't do anything in today's NFL without a quarterback. Now, I realize you're probably going to say, what about the Jacksonville Jaguars? What about the Jacksonville Jaguars? This is a great question. What about the Jaguars? The Jaguars ran the football perfectly, had a good offensive line, had a great defense, and when it mattered on the road to the AFC title game, even with a lead, they said, we don't trust our quarterback, so we'll just hold on for dear life, and they lost. So you could do everything great, everything perfect, have the perfect game plan, the perfect run game, the perfect defense, etc. But if you don't have a quarterback, you will still lose. The Denver Broncos were about the closest you could come a couple of years ago to winning a Super Bowl without a quarterback because they had Peyton Manning in there at the very tail end of his career, and you couldn't really trust Peyton Manning to do much. But does anybody remember in the divisional round, the AFC title game against the Patriots, and then the Super Bowl as well, how many early throws in those games, in those wins, Peyton Manning made? First quarter in all of those games, they allowed Peyton to go down the field, test the defense, stretch the defense, and hit a couple of plays, and they scored points off of those plays. By the end of all of those games, his arm was shot. He couldn't do that for very long, but early, he did test defenses. You simply can't do anything in today's NFL without a legitimate quarterback, and the Browns don't have one. And don't sell me on Tyrod Taylor, because he's not. Not on a bad football team. He is not. I found it very interesting that Jeff Schwartz, a former offensive lineman, who you would think would totally pound the gavel for a running back, road grader, offensive lineman, control clock, you would think he would say, get Saquon Barkley, and that'll help everything. He has been on Twitter vehemently stumping for the Browns to take a quarterback number one and not to fall into the Saquon Barkley hype train. He has said time and time and time again, you need the quarterback. Somebody brought up how important a guy like Adrian Peterson can be. Here is what a listener tweeted at Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman. Having played with Adrian Peterson, if you knew Saquon would be as good, would you still not take him at number one? Jeff Schwartz's response. AP was 9 yards away from the season all-time rushing record, and we got blown out in a wild card game because we had a backup quarterback. This is a guy that played with Adrian Peterson. This is a guy that knows of what he speaks. You can have Adrian Peterson, and if you don't have a quarterback, you are nothing. Saquon Barkley is a wonderful prospect, and he might be a wonderful NFL player, and he looks the part. But you simply cannot take him number one overall. You cannot do it. You have to draft a quarterback and get it right. Which quarterback? I personally like Josh Rosen best. Here was more from Ross Tucker on with Tiki and Tierney discussing Josh Rosen.
I can't believe more people aren't talking about the fact that Josh Rosen had 2 concussions last year.
Right.
Let's be logical about this, okay? How many concussions is he going to play through in the NFL? And I'm not suggesting he should.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with his background and the fact that he just had 2 last year, I mean, he might be one and done. I mean, he might get a concussion and be like, okay, I can get $24 million fully guaranteed in this contract and never play football again, or I can go back out and get another concussion, maybe another one. That's the guy, and I know they say he's the best pure passer and all that stuff. Mm. That's the guy that I would not touch because that concussion risk is too big for me.
Yeah, I think that's a dangerous way to look at things when it comes to Josh Rosen. Are we saying you can't trust Josh Rosen because he might be smart enough not to play through a concussion? Are we going to simply assume everybody's going to get concussions and so you want a guy that will play through them? If he's the best quarterback, you're worried, you're scared that if he gets one concussion, he suddenly says, I'm not playing football ever again, versus the risk of taking a guy who might be a lesser QB. You'd rather take Baker Mayfield, even though he's more of a risk from a personality standpoint? You'd rather take Josh Allen, even though he's a bigger risk from a project standpoint. You'd rather take Sam Darnold, even if he's a bigger risk from a talent standpoint. I just think that that's a ridiculous way to look at things. I think it's a dangerous way to look at things, to start grading down guys because they might be too smart to play through concussions. Frankly, I like Rosen best. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Pete the Body Bilotti, maybe we can cue up a little NCAA tournament music courtesy of the CBS band, because as you know, we've got something called One Spicy Moment going on. We here on the DA Show are playing a bracket challenge against you guys as well. Unfortunately, you can't be in our studios with us to eat hot salsa, but we are putting our internal organs on the line. The worst bracket here inside the studio walls will be forced to eat the hottest salsa known to man that I got from the Pepper Palace and our friends over at the Mall of America in Minnesota. Mraz, after day one, update us on the standings.
Well, as far as just the first day winnings go, Andrew Kaplan and Robbie Rosenhaus, the house, both led the way with 13 wins.
Andrew Kaplan is our engineer on the Watch DA simulcast.
Yes.
And Robbie Rosenhaus, your doppelganger or your, we've called him either your Newman or your Banya from Seinfeld.
Correct.
The guy that is looking over your shoulder and kind of a bizarro version of you.
That is right. Correct. He is, he's at 13. I don't want to really think too deeply about Robbie, because now the thought of him actually beating me in something else now is going to bother me.
Okay.
Correct. No, right behind that, Andrew Bogish, Pete Pilotti, and myself each had 12 wins yesterday. You had 11 wins, and Jacob Wilkins had only 10 wins yesterday.
So me and Wilkins are right now at the bottom. Wilkins is the bottom, then I'm the second to worst.
Yes, but this is where it gets deceiving.
Correct.
You have to actually look at the best possible score, because just because you had a big day one, as the points, you know, add up and the rounds advance, you have to have your teams advance.
You can't lose team that would go deep into the tournament.
Exactly. So the best possible score, Robbie Rosenhaus at 189 could get the best possible score of anybody on the show.
Wow.
Pete Bilotti is in second place at 188. 187 for Andrew Kaplan. So the three horses up there, Rosenhaus, Bilotti, and Kaplan, looking strong. Jacob Wilkins at 184 ranks at fourth, even though he had the least amount correct in the
correct
in the first one. You are at 179, third to last, and only had 11 wins early, so you're on shaky ground. And then at the bottom, with only a possible score of 158 left, were myself and Andrew Bogish, who both had Arizona losing in the national title game.
You both had the Wildcats losing in the title game.
Yes. So basically, as it stands now, because they're in the title game, you could almost sew up that either me or Bogish could inevitably be eating the salsa. The real difference is going to come out of that one region, because Bogish has Michigan State winning it all. I have Duke winning it all. Whoever gets further out of Duke and Michigan State likely will prevent either me or Bogish from eating the salsa, because one of our teams is already out that was in the finals.
Wow.
How about that?
That is a huge turn of events. By virtue of Arizona losing to Buffalo by 21 yesterday, already the writing is on the wall. Either you or Bogish may have to eat the Pepper Palace salsa.
Essentially, correct. That's what it looks like.
One spicy moment. We'll keep you updated throughout the tournament on our standings. However, I will tell you, we have added a wrinkle. Ta-da! Because we here on the DA Show love wrinkles. There is one way out. There is one way out of this death trap of eating a huge scoop of the hottest salsa possible.
Yeah.
That is the women's bracket.
So we called it March Madness.
We are holding a simultaneous women's bracket challenge. As you might imagine, none of us know anything about the women's bracket besides UConn's probably going to win. We are holding a simultaneous women's bracket. There is one way out. If you lose the men's bracket and need to eat the salsa, if you win the women's bracket, then you can push off your salsa eating to somebody else. And you get to pick who it is, except for the winner of the men's bracket. The men's bracket winner has amnesty. If you win the women's bracket but lose the men's bracket, you can pick who eats your salsa. However, there is a double jeopardy also. If you lose both, the women's and the men's, you must eat a quarter of the jar of salsa.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
It's a lot to wrap your mind around, I know, everybody. But we'll keep you posted. The women's bracket begins today, by the way. When we return here on the DA Show, we will rank 1 through 16 today's college basketball action. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.